Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Advocate Barbara Weltman is with us. Let me tell you a little bit about her. Barbara is an attorney and has been for a number of years. She's a nationally recognized expert in taxation for small business. She has a private practice in Millwood, New York, where she concentrates on areas of taxation and tax planning for small businesses. She is the author of J.K. Lasser's Tax Deductions for Small Business, which I've talked about before on this show and which we're going to talk about again today, which is a best-selling guide for hundreds of money-saving deductions and planning strategies. She's also the author of the Big Idea book for new business owners, and she's also the author of her most recent book, which is The Complete Idiot's Guide to Starting a Home-Based Business. She is a graduate of the Brooklyn Law School. She is the original tax attorney of the Small Business Advocate Show and a very valued member of the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust. Barbara, welcome back to the show.
Good morning.
And I think I forgot one of your books. Which one? The retirement book.
The Complete Idiot's Guide to Making Money After You Retire.
After you retire. I knew there was another one, and I don't think that's on my list here. But folks, what you can see is that this lady not only knows what she's talking about, but she puts it down on paper so you can have the benefit of that. And Barbara, I appreciate you making that available. I'm excited about what happened a couple of weeks ago. You were on the Today Show.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you.
You got to let me know about these things so I can tell my audience so they can look for you.
All right.
You got any more national television appearances coming up?
No, tax season's over, so it's going to be quiet till next time,
huh?
Yeah.
Right. Barbara, some people might say, well, what in the world? We just finished April 15th where give me some breathing room here, but before you start talking about taxes. But the truth is, this is really a good time while you're remembering the mistakes that you made in '98, in not getting as ready as you should have been for the tax season, for preparing your personal and your corporate tax returns, and also while you're a little bit indignant and maybe frankly very angry about all the taxes that you had to pay for '98 that you wish you hadn't had to pay.
Mm-hmm.
So isn't this really a good time to be talking about this?
Well, you bet. I mean, I think this is, you're going to be the most motivated now to get with the program, so to speak, to do what you have to do so that next year at this time you won't be feeling exactly the same way.
Well, there are some things that if you start now, even though maybe you haven't done them for the first 4 months, 3 or 4 months of the year,
mm-hmm.
there are some things, there are some procedures, some programs, some policies that you can start, some practices that you can start that even if you had to go back and prepare or redo for the first 3 months of the year, it's not that much work, and you can go back and get that started so that you have a full year. But if you wait, the longer you wait, before long, ooh, then it's 6 months, then it's 8 months, and then you say, well, why
yeah,
even bother?
Yeah, it's the whole year. That's exactly right, and we're talking really about keeping your books and records.
What are some examples of what I'm talking about where you just need some practices that would help you, if you'll do a little bit every day, every week, will help you to be better prepared for the tax season next year?
Well, I think that the key thing for small business owners, look, almost all small business owners use their car for business, and it's essential, and I can't stress how much, to keep records of the business use of your car if you're using it for personal purposes as well. You want to know what miles you've traveled for business, and the law requires that you keep these records. In fact, on your tax return, you're certifying that you have the records that, you know, the question is even asked, are they in writing? So it's just good business practice to get into the habit of keeping a log or a diary that shows the essentials that the tax law requires, which is the miles that you drive, the purpose of your trip, who you're going to see, and the date. So just get into a habit. If you have to keep a little log on your car visor, or every time you get back to your office, make a notation in your book. So it just, you know, whatever practice works for you, but just make sure you have one in place. And, you know, put down the odometer at the beginning of the year every year and take it from there.
888-822-8255. That's the number to call if you'd like to ask Barbara a question. Barbara, on the car thing, most small business owners, their business owns their car,
mm-hmm.
and for most of us. And We drive the car most of the time for business. We actually drive back and forth from home to work, and you know, we drive around a little bit on the weekends, but typically probably 90%+ of the automobile's use is for business. And
right.
So what would you say to someone who said, well, why don't I just log the times that I don't use it for business?
Well, that's a good question, but that's not what the tax law requires.
Right.
The tax law requires you to log your business use, not your personal use. So it's just as simple as that.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know, somebody's going to think of that. Like some malcontent like me, you know, is
right.
going to be thinking about that. What about the other records for automobile? Oh, I know one thing I was going to say. Isn't it interesting that our deduction for mileage went down at about
April
the
1st?
Exact moment? Yeah, in April 1st, it went down from what, 33 to 31?
It went down from 32 and a half cents to 31 cents.
A penny.
Mm-hmm. A penny and a half.
A penny and a half. At almost the exact moment that gasoline was going up.
Exactly. Well, you know what? It's very possible that the IRS may reconsider. So that's why it's important to keep the mileage records so that you'll be able to use the appropriate mileage rate. And as I said, now that the gasoline has gone up, it's entirely possible that the IRS could redo the mileage rate.
Who says the government can't turn around on a dime? If you want an example of how the government can turn around on a dime, just watch what happens when gas prices go down.
Right.
Because they made that little rule up in about 4 months, didn't they?
Actually, they did it. They postponed it. It was supposed to take effect in January. But,
is that right?
But large companies couldn't gear up for the changes.
Yeah, they tried to do it even quicker than that, didn't they? Yeah.
Right.
All right, stand by, folks. We're going to take a break. Barbara Weltman is our special guest. She's our good friend. And it is 20 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, a small business advocate. 888-822-8255. We'll be right back. All right, we are back. It's 24 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I want to thank you very much for joining us today. I appreciate your support of the show. You're listening to the show that is dedicated to providing small business owners and dreamers with the maximum opportunity to succeed, and one of the people who helps us do that is our special guest and our good friend Barbara Weltman. She's the author of J.K. Lasser's Tax Deductions for Your Small Business. It's in its second edition, right, Barbara?
It's in its third edition.
Third. I've got the second one. I knew that. I forgot about that. Congratulations.
Thank
in its third edition, folks, this is a very important, a very popular book. And all of her other books, which I'll remind you about in a little bit later in the show, Barbara is a very prolific writer and a great, great resource for small business. Barbara, we've been talking about record keeping, how to do a better job of record keeping. You know, for years and years, I just hated doing my taxes, and I still hate that. And one of the little success things that I was looking for, one of the goals in my life, one of the little success goals in my life, was to be able to afford, had to have an organization big enough where somebody else takes care of all that. You know, and I'm almost there. I'm pretty close to being there, but I really like being able to not have to do anything but just sort of answer questions.
Well, you know, just a tip for small business owners, which is, if you're using software to keep your books and records, it's sort of like killing two birds with one stone because
yep.
that software can be tied into a tax preparation software.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially, as long as you keep your books and records, your tax return is sort of automatically prepared for you.
That's pretty neat, isn't it?
Yeah,
it works.
Great. I mean, software like TurboTax for Business just...
Mm-hmm.
ties in with QuickBooks, you know, it's just great. It just picks up the information. And
yeah, they're integrated, aren't they?
They are, yeah. So that's really a significant time saver, and you know, we're all looking to save time.
Exactly. Let's go back. Let's keep talking a little bit about on some of the record keeping, and we talked about the automobile, and another big thing is travel and entertainment.
Well,
now, a lot
sure.
of people would say, well, you were just talking about the automobile when you must have been talking about travel, but actually T&E is a little bit different, isn't it?
Well, it's a little bit different. We're talking about when you're taking somebody out for a business lunch or a business dinner or even you know, a trip to the theater or to the baseball game for business. You want to keep track. The law requires certain specifics again of the records that you have to keep, the date that you go, the reason you go, who you went with, and basically what kind of business you discussed.
What was the purpose?
Purpose of the mm-hmm. Exactly.
So you know, one of the...
Again, just keeping a diary and making notations on right when it happened will be the most helpful thing you could do.
Typically, one little trick to point out, and maybe most everybody's probably seen someone do this, most business lunches are paid with a credit card.
Yes.
So you can have a record, you know, actually a number of records through a credit card, and you're going to get a receipt back typically, aren't you?
Right. Well, you know what? The back of the charge slip, like the back of the American Express mm-hmm. charge slip, has the spaces to fill in for all the information that you need.
Right.
It has the place to put down the name of the party that you're with and, you know, the purpose of the business meeting. So, and of course, the front of the charge slip gives you the date and the amount of the expense so and where you went. So mm-hmm. there you have it all right together. If you just make a practice as you're filling in the tip to fill in the other information as well.
While you're still holding the waitress's pen,
exactly.
just don't let her have it back yet, and get your copy and turn it over and fill it out. Obviously, nowadays, more and more of our receipts are just a piece of paper. It's not one of the old fashioned receipts that you got. You know, these are printed out on the little machine now, like an adding machine tape.
Correct.
You know? And so just turn it over and write all that information down.
Exactly.
And put it in your pocket. And that's one of the things that I think I do a pretty good job of. But there are other things that I'm not too good at. I know one thing I was going to remind people about the travel and entertainment. I have a client who's a pretty good sized company, but not a huge company. And he was audited a few years ago. And over a 3-year period, he and his salespeople had not kept up with their entertainment the way they should have. And in that audit, they were found to be deficient, and it cost him $57,000 in taxes, penalties, and interest because they disallowed a whole lot of entertainment, and that was just the taxes. So you can imagine how much entertainment there was. They disallowed it, and he had to pay all that because he didn't have good records.
Yep.
Pure and simple. No good. Did not have good records.
Hard lesson to learn.
Absolutely. That was an expensive lesson. All right, folks, stand by. We've got to take a break. It's 29 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back with Barbara Weltman. Welcome back, heroes. It's 33 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Just remember the name of the show, but the normal stuff on the front and the back. And our phone number on this show is 888-822-8255, 1-888-822-8255, if you'd like to join us and ask me or our special guest, Barbara Weltman, a question. And Barbara, tell our audience where they can get your books.
They can get the books at any bookstore, or they can get them online through Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com, so just about any place.
Barbara is such a prolific writer that I always have to allow a little bit of extra time just for her to tell us all the names of her books. Go ahead, Barbara.
Well, there's J.K. Lass's Tax Deductions for Your Small Business. We have the complete...
Now, by the way, folks, excuse me, Barbara, that one doesn't, for some reason, does the third edition have your name on the front?
Yes, it does.
Good, because I fussed at you a year or so ago, because the second edition, the people that published it did not put it on there, but the third edition has your name on it.
Right, we're going to go into fourth edition for next year.
And are we going to get your picture on the front of that one?
It's on the back.
See, I think we ought to put your picture on the front, too. Yeah.
Well, I don't think they're going to do that. But
okay, go ahead. What are the rest of
them? We have The Complete Idiot's Guide to Making Money After You Retire.
I bet that's really selling well, because that's a real important segment of our population, isn't it?
Well, you bet. And, you know, a survey showed that 70% of baby boomers expect to work after they retire.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, people aren't, you know, people
retire
aren't...
Retire just means I'm not...
At second, starting second and third careers, or starting businesses, or it means just changing, maybe working part-time, slowing down, whatever.
Retirement just means I'm not going to be working for the company that my pension's coming from.
Exactly. That's the way, that's absolutely true.
And the other books?
The Complete Idiot's Guide to Starting a Home-Based Business.
Right. All right. Good. Did we forget any of them?
The Big Idea book for new business owners is out of print now.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, we sold out, and we're sort of deciding what to do with it now.
Congratulations on the success of that book. Barbara, let's keep talking about some tips for getting people ready for to do a better job of their 99 tax return than they did on the 98 tax return. And I'm learning some things from you. I do every time you're on the show. Talk to us about something called mixed-use property.
Sure. Mixed-use property refers to certain kinds of equipment, specifically computers and cell phones and cars. What the law requires is if you're going to take accelerated depreciation for these items, you have to use them more than 50% for business. And the only way you're going to know that you do that is to keep records.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're using a computer, if your company is not in your home, but you use a computer in your home to do some work, which many people do, you
mm-hmm.
should keep track of the time that you spend on the computer for business versus personal activities. Now, just a little tip, if you have a home office, if you work from your home and that's your only place of business, you don't have to worry about this mixed-use property thing.
Right.
Your home computer is presumed to be used for business.
Okay,
so
now,
you're home-free there.
Barbara, let's be honest here. How many people are actually going to keep up with how much we use our computer at home for business?
Well, you know what? It sounds ridiculous, but
if you're the one
whose return gets questioned, you know that's where you get stuck. So,
yeah.
You know, just whatever system you can use to help you, that's
mm-hmm.
fine.
Well, I think the idea here is to be aware of it and to make some provision for. I mean, make some notes about how you use it. I mean, I guess you have one thing you have not said is we need to keep a log on our home computer.
Well, that's one way to do it, or just, you know, the time spent. If you know that every evening you spend, you know, 2 hours doing business at home, and then maybe occasionally, you know, you spend an hour, or on the weekends, you surf the web for fun.
Right.
You know, then it's really not too difficult to keep track of that kind of time.
Right. I agree with you. I know what I was going to ask you. All right, we've got a computer at the office that's not the latest model, and we'd like to have a newer model at the office. And we've already written off the one that's on our desk that we're going to replace with the new one and this one's only a year old. But it's still a good computer. It's still in good shape. It's still very productive and very, very fast and everything. But it doesn't have the newest stuff, and that's what we wanted in our office.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so what about taking that computer from the office home and just taking it home? In other words, instead of giving it away or selling it or whatever, we just take it home, the old one.
Why not?
How do we have to treat that?
Well, if it's already written off, there's nothing more to be done from it. You're not going to get any more business write-offs from it than
100%. So we don't have to charge it. We don't have to charge ourselves for that one or anything like that.
It's already down to zero.
Yeah.
I wouldn't worry about it.
Yeah. Okay. That's that's something that I have done in the past is to take, you know, the last generation of computer home instead of having, you know, buying a brand new one. I'd leave the new one at work.
Well, that's certainly something that could be done. And another thing that could be done is businesses can consider donating the computer equipment.
Now, tell us about how that works.
Well, there are two different rules. I mean, there's just a basic deduction, but the problem with the basic deduction of your equipment is that it's limited to your basis, which is probably down to zero. So
right.
You're not getting any benefit there. But there's
right.
a special rule for donations of computer equipment to grades K through 12, and that's only on the books for another couple of years, and it only applies to C corporations, unfortunately.
So
if you're an S corporation or you're sole proprietor, you're not going to get the benefit of this special write-off.
Right.
C corporations should certainly look into it if they're upgrading their equipment.
Okay. All right, thanks. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to get Barbara to talk to us about some of the new stuff in the home office deductions. It's 40 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with us. We'll be right back. All right, we are back. It's 45 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you for joining us. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. Our special guest is our good friend Barbara Weltman. She is the author of, among other things, J.K. Lasser's Tax Deductions for Your Small Business in its third edition. Congratulations on that, Barbara. And The book is available in bookstores in your town. They're available online. Just and also when you go there, when you do a search for Barbara Weltman, W-E-L-T-M-A-N, because that is where you'll find the listing of all the books that she has written. And check all those out. Barbara, let's talk about something that's very much on the minds of a lot of small business owners these days, and that's the home office deduction. It's changed a little bit this year, hasn't it?
Well, you bet. For the first time, there's some good news. For 99, the rules have been liberalized a little bit so that, let me backtrack 1 minute. In order to write off the expenses of using your home for business, you have to show that it's your principal place of business or meet certain other tests. And the law has now been changed so that a home office is considered your principal place of business if you use it for substantial managerial or administrative activities. And what this means is in the past, if you were, let's say, a plumber who used a home office to keep your books and records and make your appointments and order your supplies, you weren't entitled to a home office deduction because you were considered your principal place of business was where you earned your money, which was outside the home.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're allowed to write off your home office expenses because you're using your home for substantial managerial administrative activities and you have no other fixed location for doing that. In other words, you don't have a storefront somewhere to do those kinds of tasks that you have to do for your business.
You know,
so
it's
this
just
is good news.
It's just amazing, though, that it took that much time to
it
get to
it took that much time and a lot of lobbying by a lot of small business, home business associations.
I mean, how hard was that to understand?
Well, I don't know. It came, you know, it all started with the Supreme Court many years ago, and I think it was about 93 when they said that's the rule, and
yep.
You know, and now it took the Congress to change that decision, and that's where we're at now.
But now there are certain things that you need to do to and with your home office, so that it qualifies as a home office, right?
I mean, you have to use a portion of it regularly and exclusively for business, and what this means is that. Whether it's an entire room or a portion of the room, you have to use that just for business. So, mm-hmm. In other words, technically, you're not supposed to use your den as an office by day and as a family room by night.
Right. Well, you can, but you just can't write it. You can't write off the den.
Exactly.
You can
do anything you want in terms of use, but for tax write-off purposes, that's what the law requires.
Well, and the thing is what you'll find is that there's not that much deductibility. There's not that much to deduct if that's all you're doing. If you've got a roll top in the corner of the den,
you know, it's not worth the effort anyway.
It's not going to come up to that much money anyway. That's exactly right. But if you are like I used to be, which is where you had an entire room in your home that had been turned into an office. I had a 12x12 room that was 100% a business office, and that square footage was as deductible on my return as any office downtown.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other advantage to locking into a home office deduction are the ancillary benefits. We already talked about the fact that once you have a home office, you don't have to worry about showing business use of the computer.
Right.
And also, all your commuting expenses essentially become business expenses. As soon as you leave your home to go see a client or customer, it's automatically a business expense. Really, you have no more commuting expenses. It's all business.
Well, and you can allocate a certain portion of the utilities, a certain portion of the telephone lines if you don't have a dedicated line.
That's right.
There are other things. The insurance, the property tax, all that's allocated pro rata to that square footage of your house, right?
And even the maintenance. If you paint the outside of your house, a portion becomes deductible.
Right. So all of that, when you set aside a room, a defined area, all of that can amount to a nice little chunk of a deduction.
Well, especially when you're thinking year in and year out, it's. I would say that then it becomes a little more important.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Let's talk about planning for the year as far as equipment purchases.
Well, there's good news here is that the amount that you can write off expense instead of having to depreciate the equipment over several years has gone up for 1999. It's now $19,000. So that lets you buy a pretty fancy computer or telephone system for your business.
So it went up. It went up
from machinery or whatever. Yeah.
Went up from 18.5 to 19.
Correct.
And folks, that's exactly what it means. It means that if you bought $3,000 computer or $1,000 laser writer or a new phone system or something like that, up to $19,000 this year is written off as an expense this year, not depreciated over time like in the past. Stay tuned with folks. It's 50 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back. All right, we are back. It's 54 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I want to remind you that Bob Sullivan, the author of the Small Business Startup Guide, is going to be with us. He's a member of our Brain Trust and a good friend. He's going to be with us coming up in the next hour. We're going to be talking about some Internet issues, including Y2K. We're going to get him to tell us all he knows about Y2K. And Barbara, you made one point. I want to get into some Y2K tax issues in a second, but you said something a minute ago that I thought was very important. When I said, just as we closed out the segment, I said that you can write off a $3,000 computer or laser printer or whatever in this year because there are $19,000 worth of expenses that you can write off rather than deduct. You made a good point that I want you to point out for us.
Well, you can write it off even if you're financing the purchase. So, you know, cash flow-wise, it's really a great thing to do because you're generating tax savings without even if it's not really out of pocket.
One of the things, Barbara, that I do is I get indignant when I see the government not doing whatever they can to help small business owners, because you and I both know that small business is the employment engine of this of the current age.
That's absolutely true. I think 98% of all people are employed by small business.
And 100% of the net new jobs in the last 5 years have been created by small business. But I got to take my hat off to the government for this, at least this one issue. This is a very good thing, isn't it? Being able to write off, to be able to expense the purchase of new items. And it really makes sense because so much of the things that we buy are high tech that becomes obsolete in a year.
Well, absolutely.
Let's talk about tax deductibility of Y2K compliance.
Well, two things to mention here. First of all, you know, you better start checking. I mean, you know, your next guest, I'm sure, will go into more details. But the government and major industry has been up on this problem, but small business, I think, has not been paid as much attention as perhaps they should, especially if you have like older telephone systems, older computers, and, you know, older software. The government will allow you to write off the expenses of becoming compliant, whether you buy new software, design new software. You know, there are different ways that you can treat the cost.
What if you have to upgrade? What if it's an upgrade, like from the old version that you have that is not Y2K compliant to the new version? Of course, you can write that off anyway, I guess. That would be deductible anyway.
Well, basically, that's it. Basically, the rules follow the ordinary rules. So basically, software you write off over 3 years, unless you can prove that it's going to become obsolete in less
right.
than 3 years. So that's sort of like the normal rules.
So really, I guess what we're looking for, there are no squirrely rules against writing off expenses for Y2K compliance.
That's it. Just know that you'll be able to deal with your costs.
If you had to bring somebody in to do a little bit of consulting with
yeah,
you?
Yeah, you'll be able to deal with all those costs. So that's not a problem. You know, if you lease new equipment or however you handle it for your particular business, you'll be able to deal with it. And I saw that the SBA, the Small Business Administration, is making loans available to small businesses just for this purpose.
Pointing that out. I'm glad that you mentioned that. Is the IRS going to be ready?
The IRS is right. Most of the government agencies are already ready. I'm not worried about the government agencies. I know New York City is already proved, you know, tested and proved compliant.
But, right.
It's really going to be the smaller and medium-sized companies that haven't been as attentive
right.
to this problem.
Right. Barbara, that's got to be the last word. Got to wrap it up for this hour. As always, you did a great job. Thank you very much for your information.
Okay.
We enjoyed having you with us. See you later.
Yep.
Got to go for this hour, folks. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember these 10 two-letter words. If it is to be, it is up to me. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.